Welcome to Life's a Story, where real life meets the mic. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm joined by some amazing individuals for some candid conversations about the moments in life that shape us.
This is Andy. Whether it's navigating relationships, sharing personal triumphs, or dissecting the latest news, we're here to explore it all. Get ready for genuine, thought-provoking discussions.
Hey, it's Stephanie. We believe every story deserves a spotlight, and we're not holding anything back. So grab your favorite drink, settle in, and join us as we peel back the layers of real-life experiences, one conversation at a time.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dina. Let's dive into authentic, unfiltered stories that make life interesting.
I'm excited about what we have in store for you today, so let's go ahead and kick things off and get started. Well, welcome back to Life's a Story podcast. I'm your host, Greg Steinke, where real life
meets the mic.
Hey, and that's Andy.
Hey, I got my chance.
Well, we are talking with Caleb Foster, and the previous episode, my wife and Andy's wife, Stephanie, were talking with Corjo, his wife, and we are on a series of infertility and adoption, and two ends of a spectrum. And in their case, they are living both. And so we are with Caleb, and he's going to share with us a little bit about himself, a little bit about his background. And I know that Corjo had done pretty well the same thing, and share a little bit about her growing up, and then maybe get into how him and Corjo met. And I doubt if it was like an online service, but Caleb, I'm just going to let you kind of introduce yourself a little bit and just share with us a little bit of your background. Okay. And then we'll just go from there.
Okay. Yeah, I grew up out in country. I grew up on a farm, raised cows, pigs. We had goats and just nice country area.
Where at? That sounds fun.
It's in a small town, pass-through town called Painter Creek. A lot of people don't know.
Painter
Creek.
Painter Creek. It's on 571.
I've heard of that before.
There's like one or two restaurants
there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it used to be,
right outside
used to be
Newton,
Harley Shop right there a long time ago. It used to be Ludi's Harley Shop, I believe so. But I grew up there. I had three sisters. We had 4 acres. It was nice. You could do whatever you want. We had a little 50cc, little dirt bike you rode around on.
There we go.
All kinds of fun stuff. Shooting range. Two and a half acres was fenced in. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was just nice. Nice area.
So, and Cora Jo, she grew up 2.5 hours away from you.
Yeah, three and a half. Three and a half hours
away. Oh, wow. Where'd you guys meet at then?
We met at Bible College.
Bible College, okay.
It was my last year at Bible College.
Mm.
It was my last year, and it was her first year.
What Bible College?
Massillon Baptist College.
Okay. Also in Ohio then.
Yeah, it's near Canton.
Yeah.
About like half hour away from Canton.
Really?
Yeah.
So y'all just kind of kept in touch throughout her tenure there at the college?
Well, yeah. So we started dating, I think, after the second quarter. We started dating, and then I graduated. Of course, she took a one-year Bible college course.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, we were dating and then got engaged a year after we started dating.
Really?
So from meeting to...
How'd you guys end up here in Troy?
I just grew up in this area. I was a youth pastor at that time, and then so she just came
kind of
and
followed you. And
yeah, she's
came here.
Followed
okay.
Me.
Now, does her family still live?
Yeah, her dad's a pastor up in Millersburg,
and that's where she's from.
She's from Millersburg.
Okay,
Holmes County, Amish country,
right?
All the area. Mm-hmm.
So how long have you all been married?
13 years. It'll come 13 in June.
So you're counting on that next anniversary to come around. Yeah, well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's being positive, you know.
Yeah,
13 years. That's great, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. All wonderful. 13 years.
So what? Let's go ahead. I mean, you know, I know that you could probably just tell us a lot about your background and you know, with Cora Jo. I don't know how much all they dove into her background. But
right.
you know, this is a probably a pretty hard subject, and not one to be taken lightly. And there are many that may be listening that either have been involved or know someone, or even may be facing it right now concerning that subject of, and really the infertility. And we are not diving into really the medical side of it, but more on the emotional, the impact that kind of took place. So you guys have been married 13 years. And so about what time or how long were you married until you realized what was happening?
Probably the first couple of years. I mean, you know, we waited 1 or 2 years to have kids, and then, you know, we waited and said, okay, it's finally time to have kids, and then, you know, we just weren't able to.
Do you know, like, when you weren't able, like, did it kind of just gradually happen, like something's going on, or?
Probably after that 1 or 2 year mark when we tried to start to have kids, and then it just, and then about that 2 year mark, that's when we started, like, something just isn't right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I know you have probably put a lot of it into prayer.
Oh, yeah.
And really seeking the Lord and wanting, first of all, probably praying for children.
Yeah.
And when that is not coming about, now the next step would have been to see a doctor.
Right.
And so kind of walk us through that maybe a little bit.
So she went to the doctor and she found out some medical conditions.
Mm-hmm. So this is on her, like strictly her, or is it both of you?
I honestly never.
You never.
I never went because we had decided after
finding out about her,
and some of her issues, symptoms, or whatever you call them.
Right. Right.
That it wasn't. So anyhow, she said, what do we do? I said, well, but the cool thing was, before we got married, we talked about maybe adopting.
Really?
Yeah.
So that was something that was already discussed. Previously on your heart then, I guess.
Yeah.
On both your hearts at the same time? Or?
Yeah, it was on both her hearts. I always thought, man, it'd be neat to adopt in case we couldn't.
Really?
So she went to the doctor, found some stuff. And then I'm like, man, because, you know, she wants kids. Looking at her and saying, you know, she says, you know, it just isn't fair.
Right. Were either one of you guys adopted, or is she have, is there a history in her side of the family?
No.
Just the first
instance? This is the first instance with my family, with her family, the whole thing.
So you went and had the appointment and found out.
Right.
Within a few days after the test results came back.
Yeah.
So what did that... Honestly, what did that feel like?
Like, I don't know, just kind of, you're kind of not angry, but just frustrated because, you know, you're trying to do everything right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then there's people who aren't going about the right way.
So that was in your thoughts where...
Mother's Day for her was... She didn't like Mother's Day.
How close to Mother's Day? Was this around that time then when you kind of realized what was happening?
It was around there. I mean, the Mother's Day for the next 2-3 years.
Very difficult.
She didn't even like going to church. Because
really,
you know, and then from a guy's side, you know, the even Father's Day, you get frustrated because here Father's Day, all to all the fathers, and you can't give your wife what she wants as a
right.
Now you were a youth pastor, and her father was a pastor.
Yes, it still
right?
is. Yeah.
So, like, to not want to go to church, which is something huge and big for you guys. That's a big deal.
Yeah, it's more just the fact that realization that
everyone around you celebrating
as a mother, and she can't emotionally for me. It was her frustration of that, and me, I couldn't give her what she wanted.
You tried to support her through that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and that's, I bet it felt like a, I mean, you hear win-win, but like just a lose-lose situation where anything you tried to do to help, like it wasn't going to help.
Right.
And I mean, there's just, what'd that affect your guys' marriage?
We stayed pretty strong through it.
You did. That's good.
Trusting in God was number one, knowing that he had a plan
right.
for everything. That was number one emotionally, but that doesn't mean we didn't have her struggles.
Now, did you, like in your own private time, you know, away from Core Joe?
Yeah.
Did you have the time where you broke down or?
I don't think I ever broke down, but it was, I guess in my own way, yeah, I was just frustrating because, you know, what do you do?
Mm-hmm. Now,
it's the unanswered question of, what now? You know,
right now, did you guys? I've heard of relationships or marriages getting to the brink of, sadly, a divorce or one wanting to leave because they can't have their dream. Right. And I know you guys talked about adoption before.
Yeah, I think that was a major. What kept us strong through it, because we talked about it beforehand.
Did you guys have struggles or talks like that, like on the bad days? Like,
yeah, because just trying to help her emotionally was a hard time. And then, but knowing that we could get through it together was a big thing.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of support? Like, I've heard so many instances, like, sadly, where I come, like, from... It's like, just go find someone else or you'll be fine. Or sadly, a lot of times adoption doesn't even come up. People would rather end what could be a great marriage, a great family, and a great situation for someone, a child.
Well,
and
we
end it right there. But
I mean, when you say the vows for better, for worse.
Yeah.
I mean, that's for better, for worse,
well, good.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So your timeline on that from... And we'll get into the adoption here in a minute, but
yeah.
From the timeline of finding out the condition,
yeah.
2-3 years before you started, or what was the timeline of where do you both realize that adoption is something that you really want to
get? Probably from... In my timeline, could be different, of course. Who knows?
Oh, yeah, we're mad.
Who knows? I don't know. Ask her before. And she's like, God, because we're, you know, thinking about it. And she said, she started listing years. I'm like, I don't remember the years. But it's probably about 5 years after we got married when we started.
So you went for a period of about 2-3 years?
2-3 years of waiting to have kids, and then that 2-3 years probably... of not being able to, and then...
Right, kind of feeling that we need to take another step or the next step.
Right.
And realizing that, well, you know, the what was in our heart earlier, did that kind of come back to you where you felt, now I know why the Lord had put that in our heart, or, you know, even before we were married?
Oh, yeah. In college, we talked about it. I just thought adoption, it'd be neat if we were able to. And I just thought that'd be cool to be able to give other people a good home, good foundation.
And now with adoption, there's so many different options too.
Oh, there's a ton.
So y'all are settled. You understand your situation, and now you want to take that next step to seek adoption. So now you have the question of, should we adopt? Or even go into foster care at first? Or did you ever think about foster care?
We did.
Not that your last name's Foster, but
actually, that's kind of a pun. I told Cora, I said, you know, it'd be cool to name our kid Child. She's like, why? I said, because the medical records, it says Foster Child. think about it, There's a lot of different ways. We didn't want to go foster child because we knew we would get
well attached.
Well, attachment,
right.
to them, and to hate to see them pulled out would be a tough spot.
Right. And so now you have to weigh out: do we go with a newborn, or was that part of the equation?
It was. We went from basically our options 0 to whatever.
Whatever. Whatever. Whoever was available.
And we also talked about, like, and we might get into this with when CORE comes on, but like the home study, you're only allowed certain what they call a home study.
Explain that. What is a home study?
So it tells you, it goes your finances. That's part of adoption, where you get your finances, how much do you make, what is your debts, all that stuff.
Goes
what kind
in
of house,
effect.
All that stuff. Our study went to 4 kids. So we said from 0 to 4, from 0 to so-and-so.
Okay. So they tell you, based on your that environment, how many children they will allow at that point for you to adopt.
Right.
So now you make that decision, you start the process, and are you looking, or is there an agency looking?
So I believe we went with the private agency. Basically, it's, I mean, how you make like a Facebook profile. Mm-hmm. Basically, they did that for me and her.
Okay.
To try to say, hey, we have this couple looking for kids. Now, and then they would put it on different states throughout the United States.
That's what I was going to ask. So literally you could have had a child from, we're in Ohio, you could have had one from California.
Oh, yeah.
Texas. Okay. Really?
Anywhere. I mean, yeah.
And I guess, where are your children from? Are they Ohio?
Yeah, they're from, near Toledo.
Near Toledo. Okay.
So they just do the matching.
Yeah, they put your, when kids come up, we went through a process called state waiting, or state, they're like the parents had kind of signed the rights away, and the state is kind of their guardian.
Okay.
So the parents are kind of out of the picture.
Now, how long have you been? Have they been adopted by you guys?
Yeah.
Is it 5 years, you said?
2018.
So this will be
five years. Well, March, this 5 years ago this month is when we finalized.
Okay.
So when you got the news from the agency.
Yeah.
I mean, did you have other options, though, outside of the ones that you have now?
Yeah, but there was just... There was a lot of options. There was state. There was, you could foster, but like I said,
But did they have to where they said, here we have Jane Doe, and then so and so.
All the it during that whole process, there's so much heartache just for us, because they would say, hey, here is so and so,
right?
And you would read, and it was just
break your heart.
It was rough. You'd read it, and you're like, "Man, how can we're not able to, or this or that?" And we want to do the right thing.
That's hard. That's a hard choice to make, would it not be?
Oh, it was extremely tough.
So with your
extremely tough,
yeah, I can imagine,
because we would read them together, and it was just really really tough.
How long did that? I mean,
so the home study was a 2 year or 18 month home study. Okay. So it lasted, and then you had to re-up.
Okay.
After 18 months. So I bet after about 6 months, we could finally start looking. After, it took 6 months just to get everything done from start. Okay. We're going to adopt to, okay, now you can actually start looking, because all the paperwork, everything had to get done up to that point.
And approved through whoever.
Right, through the state.
Now, I'm sure I'll ask Cora Joe, or maybe the wives did, but like, how many children did you attend or go meet before you settled, or not even settled?
Well, actually,
like
the first ones we met were ours.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Really? Wow. Were you allowed to meet others, though? I mean,
not really, because they don't want. So our first meeting,
probably don't want to give a false,
right?
Positive on the children, thinking that whoever comes to look at them or meets them,
right?
Actually, taking them home.
Our first meeting was actually with their caseworkers.
Okay,
it wasn't even with them. So here's a cool thing: how God worked in that they actually. That profile that we sent out, or that our people sent out, mm-hmm. they actually contacted us.
Okay.
So they actually said, hey, look this profile. And they contacted us. And then we met with all the caseworkers. And then they looked at our profile, asked us questions, everything before we actually met them.
Now, you adopted two girls and a boy.
Right.
And they're siblings. Did you have to have all three? Like, there was no splitting up, right?
There was no splitting up.
No splitting. And you said earlier that you were kind of pre-approved for four children.
Pretty much, yeah, because five was like a big family home study, which was a little more.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then your children that you have now, and how long have you had them?
5 years this month, and we got them July of 18.
So what was it like when you first met them?
What are we getting into? I mean, it was...
Tell everybody their ages when you...
Oh, they were 4, 7, and 11 when we first met them.
All the same mother, but not the same father.
Right.
All three of them.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was the first time meeting them, you know, trying to be friendly. We got them little stuffed animals, and we went to a park, you know, played on a playground. And then the caseworker and I, like a counselor lady, was there too, just to see how the interaction, see if it would be a good fit. Because just because they picked us doesn't mean
that
the fit's good.
Right. Well, I really wanted, and I'll probably bring it up too, but like, was there almost like a grace period? As in, like, did you go up? You said Toledo, so,
yeah.
And we're 2 hours away from Toledo, so.
Right.
You have to go up there multiple times to kind of meet them?
It was about 2 or 3 times.
Okay.
We went up for that park date, and then after the park date, we were allowed to bring them home twice. Mm-hmm. The first time bringing home, sleeping in the house, we're like, what do we do? Yeah.
Well, I don't want to get too deep into that because I want to get with Cora Jo.
Yeah.
Right. But like meeting them was really neat. You learn to see how they are, how they interact, and nervous as could be, because what if the kids don't like us?
So the emotions that used to be.
Right.
Have they dissipated? Do they still linger?
Like just
to where
the frustration
the infertility, where does that still around?
There's hints of that. Cora and I will be somewhere and something will come up and it'll just, yeah, I'll see it in her face. I know she's struggling with it sometimes.
And as a husband, how do you help her out?
Really,
I know you don't turn a deaf ear or you look away. I know you're there.
But I usually say, you know, we talked about this. I said, you know, for better, for worse, God's getting us through it. And that's how I approach it, saying this is what we wanted, you know, and this may not you wanted, but this is what God wanted. And you know, just, you know, be there for.
So you were pretty strong emotionally all the way through this for her?
Yeah. I mean, I tried to support her, you know, just to, and she did a lot of legwork and everything, but like she had her moments where, you know, she broke down, frustrated, you know, but it's just, it really brought us closer. I mean, you talked earlier about, you know, what was it like stress on a marriage.
Yeah.
But what got us through it was, like I said, before we even started dating, or maybe dating stage, just knowing that this is might be, that we would be both for this.
And, you know, that's amazing, though, that the Lord had placed that into your heart. I've heard of missionaries that aren't married that prior to them even meeting their spouse, that a missionary said, you know, felt in his heart the Lord's calling me to Spain or whatever, and then he starts dating a girl that somehow the Lord laid in her heart the very same thing and brought them together. But in your case, both of you, not knowing what the future was going to bring you,
yeah,
how the Lord already had prepared that for you, strengthened you through that emotionally, And I'm sure that it was not easy. And there are many families that, as Andy said, can't get through it, mm-hmm. and don't know where to turn or who to turn to. Right. I'm sure that, you know, you had your family. She had her family. Oh, that yeah.
The support from both families was amazing. I mean, it just, I think I still got, but we got adoption shirts. You know, I forget what the phrase is, but it's just our family support was just amazing through this.
So for the dads that, or the husbands, I should say, mm-hmm. that go through this, and either whether it's the wife or the husband finds out that children are not an option in right. their personal life, what kind of advice would you encourage them with if they are facing that even today?
Support your wife, number one. I mean, and then just know that there's opportunity to impact someone out there who needs a family. I mean, don't, you know, there's so much coming through here. I guess it's been 5 years and seeing kind of the other side of it.
Right.
There's so much joy that comes from it. Joy. I mean, we talked about emotions, that anger now turns to joy. And you see how far they've come just from beginning to, and to see that at the end is worth it all, you know, to know that if we would have quit, we wouldn't have done this. We wouldn't have the joy and the kids we have now.
I think that's a key thought that you have said, where, you know, even though you can't and that option's not there, on the other side of it, you have children that don't have the option for parents.
Right.
And how the Lord brings those two negatives, in a sense, and makes one positive out of that and fulfills both roles at the very same time.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's really astounding.
Right. And, you know, in 5 years, you're able to, after 5 years, it's really almost five and a half, but you know, it's like their own kids. Nothing's changed.
Right.
I mean, it's neat to, you know, joke around, have fun. And it's just like they've always been there.
And that's something. Yeah. It's become natural then.
It has.
Yeah.
And just to see these kids who you're able to make an impact on, and you're able to go from parenting of not knowing what you're doing, you know, because you're coming from, plus part of that 5 years is emotionally, you're not knowing what to do, and you're trying to deal with their emotions. They're trying to deal with yours. Two different areas. Mm-hmm. You come together, and then, you know, they seem like your kids, and then just, it's amazing to see that. And you learn each other, and you learn just to be able to be yourself.
And I have a question. So, we had Sawyer, and I loved, and I still love her with all my heart. And for Hadley's five, so 4 years, right. in between, well, like three, since like when my wife got pregnant, Stephanie did.
Yeah.
I was scared to death to love Hadley. Like, I was scared I wasn't going to love her as much as I did Sawyer.
Right.
Going in, not having children of your own, like they're not your biological children. Right. As a husband, did you have that same fear, like, am I able to have my full heart towards these children? Especially,
you're fine.
The oldest being 11.
Yeah.
That gives you usually like a rough estimate of just 7 years of getting to kind of know her. Like, is when you adopt, is that has it come to be enough to, and I know it is, but like,
yeah,
for people out there, is like, how can they overcome those fears as a husband? To, like, I mean, obviously 7 years is plenty of time to fall in love right. with your child, but a lot of times they may be 14, 15 years old. We talked about, like, a lot of times they may only have a few years. How can, in a way, would you say, like, you can convince them that it's going to be okay? Like, age doesn't matter.
You show them love.
Right.
Just show them love. Show them, just a good, stable home.
Right.
Where they're not scared about this or that, or, you know, because a lot of kids in the foster care adoption area that, you know, they've been to 3, 4, 5, 6 homes.
And that
scaredness, I think, for them, just show them a stable foundation.
Right.
And, you know, and through that, you love them. You learn to love them.
Yeah.
Just like their own. There's nothing changed. Like, I love each and every one of them. They're all three different.
Right.
Yeah, we missed, I don't know, all those years.
Yeah. You
know, 11, 7, 4. We didn't know what their upbringing was.
Right.
And we have some, we know some stuff, but to see that work and how it's come to, we love them our own, and they now they're just normal kids.
Right.
Because I'm like, what's normal? I don't know.
Well, we'll get into more of that in our next episode. But as far as the emotional impact, the heartache, that the support that that you gave Core Joe, and even still today, where when that pops up and there are those trigger points that may arise, you're there to help calm her.
Right.
And to soothe that, and with that same help of calming her, you kind of go back and see what the Lord had given you.
Oh yeah,
in replacing what you felt was probably a complete loss at that time, incomplete in the marriage. Maybe you didn't feel well, like you said. There's that frustration of or an anger that everybody else, you know. Those that don't try or don't deserve, sometimes we feel that you don't deserve children, and there you are having how many? And
right.
Here we are wanting children to love them and to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and that's our heart's desire. Now we can't, and that does bring a lot of frustration.
But yeah.
And yet the Lord brings that joy and fulfills a portion of that in your life.
And it's really joy overflowing, just— because you know that joy is just, it's amazing to be able to know where you were and now you are.
Right.
It's just a totally two sides of emotion.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk more with both Caleb and his wife, Cord Joe, in our next episode, and we're going to get into the adoption. And I know that there are a lot of scenarios that took place at the beginning and just the initial get to know you for the first 6 months type, you know, and just trying to figure everybody out.
Right.
And I have some great questions that I've been dying to ask you, but I'm excited for these questions for both them in the room on this next episode for everyone to listen to.
Good. Well, you join us for this next episode, and I know it'll be a help to you. And certainly give us an email at lifesastory2024@gmail.com. And we'd love to help you out if we can. But thanks for joining us today on Life's a Story podcast. I'm your host, Greg Steinke, along with Andy and Caleb.
It's good to be here.
And so thanks for listening, and have a great day.
See ya.
All right, see ya.